You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Beginning at verse 12, states, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" Listen, he said, "I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people." Yes, yes. And from that 12th verse, we lift our theme for this morning, gratitude with the wrong attitude. Yes. Gratitude with the wrong attitude. Now we look at the book of Psalms. It is known as the book of praises, referring to Israel's expression of worship and gratitude towards God. Israel experienced firsthand, yes, God's revelation of himself as their deliverer and provider. And God's grace and mercy upon a sinful nation. Psalms denotes the soul of man reaching up to the infinite God. Our text this morning, yes, denotes the summit taking inventory of his life. And reflecting on how good, yes, God is. Is God good? Yes, yes he is. He's good, I say sometimes, all the time. Yes, Lord, he is. Regardless of what condition we find ourselves in, it does not negate God's goodness. God's good. Yes, he is. And as a result, he expresses thanksgiving for deliverance from imminent death. Yes, Lord. The key point of this text is you must experience a relationship with God before you can worship and appreciate him. And it starts, get this now, it starts with your attitude. With your attitude. Now, what kind of attitude do we as the church today, what kind of attitude we have? Do we have the wrong, yes, Lord, attitude when it comes to worship? Usually, yes. Usually, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, well. We are waiting for someone else to help us with our praise. Why? I don't need no one else to inspire or encourage me to worship God. yeah. As we stated earlier, it takes a personal, yes, Lord, a personal experience with God. And if you ever had a time to shout in your life, is God good to you? How do you qualify that? Did you wake up this morning with a reasonable portion of health and strength? Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Were you able to go to your pantry or your closet or your cabinet or your refrigerator? And you chose, Lord Jesus, what you want to eat this morning. What you talking about? Oh, thank you, Jesus. You didn't have to sleep outdoors in the snow. You could go to the thermostat and turn it up or down, depending on what your flavor is. You know what I'm talking about. So why do I need, yes, Lord Jesus? I don't need Deacon Cottrell to help me, praise God. I didn't come to the church, Lord, looking to hear a good song. Nevertheless, I enjoy the gospel chorus. I enjoy the choir of Macedonia. I tell them every now and then, you bless my soul. But I'm reflecting on my personal relationship with God. Woo, watch out, Reverend Register. Listen, at the summit, in Psalms 100, verse 4, from the King James Version, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. Yes, that's the word. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Psalm 69 and 30, I will praise, the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Yes. I'm sort of reminded of a personal experience concerning one of my little nephews, a child at the time, and his attitude after receiving a gift from me. And his parents, gave him the advice to say thank you. Now, the child was appreciative of the gift. He enjoyed the gift. But his attitude was in question. The expression was an empty reply because the child really was not appreciative. And his attitude kind of reminds you of the church today. We come to church ungrateful. Self-centered.
Help us.
And we want God, to bless us without commitment. We want benefits without sacrifice. We seem to have forgotten, what Paul labored with the church at Ephesus when he talked about the body of Christ edified. thing. Edifying the church. Building up the church. Working in the ministry for the cause of Christ. Oh, Lord Jesus. But when you talk about being mentors for the cause of Christ, and I'm talking from experience now, the first question comes out, what do we have to do? Well, Lord Jesus, if God has been good in your life, and he has, glorify God. Being a mentor, encouraging people that are struggling, that come into the body of Christ, come into Macedonia Baptist Church. Thank you, Jesus. I have to say that. Lord, I'm so grateful. I thank the Lord for leading me to Macedonia Baptist Church. And when you open your program, Lord Jesus, I had to go here. You open it, it says, our purpose to preach, teach, and reach. Our goal is to reach into the family for the cause of Christ. In every aspect, there is ministry to touch every family member. Lord Jesus, watch yourself, Reverend Richard. But well, what's wrong with us?
Yes, sir.
The attitude of the psalmist was love for the Lord because of their relationship. God, in his magnificent glory, took time to hear the psalmist cry and to answer his prayer. God heard his voice and condescended. He was on the brink of death, and God delivered him. He expresses praise for God. And because God delivered him from the valley of death, his attitude was, I will. Not let me think about it, let me pray over it, but I will. He will recognize the deliverance of the Lord, and finally he makes a vow of payment to the Lord. The theme of this book expresses thanksgiving for deliverance from death and an attitude of gratitude, denoting that worship, is a thankful response and not a repayment for what God has done. You see, attitude denotes a way of thinking or feeling about something or someone that is reflected in a person's behavior. It denotes action that reflects true worship. And worship is the feeling and expression of reverence and adoration unto God. It is an act of religious devotion directed towards a deity, and in this case, the one true Jehovah God. And the important principle to take with you is the five elements involved in worship.
Well, let's see.
Belief, number one. A conviction, a convicted heart that God is real. And Hebrews, the 11th chapter, is the compendium of Hebrews 11 and 1. It has you to understand, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God, watch this B clause, he must first believe that he is. He must first believe that God exists. He must first believe that God is able. Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
And then second in your worship, faith. And faith is the commitment. And belief and faith are like Siamese twins. You can't have one without the other. Yes, I know I'm right about it. Commitment. You are committed to the action and convinced that God is real, so you act on what you have faith in. So Hebrews 11 and 1 have us to understand now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What you talking about? I'm standing here in the pulpit looking at your faces. Some of you are so stern and you're looking at me. But I'm standing in faith. I know I'm not qualified for a pastor. But I'm standing declaring God's word. Because I'm convicted and committed to the work for the cause of Christ. And I want to declare to you that God is real and Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Glory to God. I'm looking for glory. I'm looking to go home one of these old days. Few more rise going down of yonder song. Thirdly, obedience. Total submission to God. Listen at Paul, if you will, in Romans, the 12th chapter. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But we want to worship, and in our worship, we want benefits without sacrifice. We don't strive to practice altruism. To give up your will for the will or cause of another. And Jesus have us to understand, if any man will come after me, let him first deny himself and follow me. I'm talking about obedience now. Follow Christ. Then, fourth, you have thanksgiving, a grateful attitude. Psalms 105 and 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Then finally, there's that fifth element, praise, to magnify, adoration. Psalms 34 and 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Yes, we serve a magnificent and glorious God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Listen, there's only one true and living God, the Lord God Jehovah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. In him we live, move, and have our being. The gospel according to John 4 and 24 have us to understand that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We cannot worship and appreciate God with the wrong attitude. God is not a physical being that is limited to one place. Listen at Psalms 139, 7 through 10 from the New Living Translation. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up, yes, to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest ocean, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. God is everywhere, I tell you. He's omnipresent and can be worshiped anywhere at any time. It is not where we worship that counts, but how we worship. He is your worship. And I ask the question, is your worship genuine and true? Do you have the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you in the worship of the Almighty God? I can call your attention to a very intriguing story titled Walking with Jesus. Do I really walk with Jesus each and every day? If someone lived or worked with me every day and didn't speak to me, I would feel awful. Still, I do this to my wonderful Lord. If I give a gift to someone and they fail to thank me, I'd say to myself, isn't that awful? Yet I do this to Jesus. Glory to the Lamb of God. I need to pray that the Holy Spirit will renew me, that I may walk closer to Jesus and can do less than that to continually give him my thanks and praise. Have you considered, church, what Jesus done for us? He left his home in glory. Have you considered, church, that he came down into a sin-cursed world for you and I? I'm reminded of the prophecy of Isaiah. Listen, if you will, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord reveal? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we see him, yeah, there is no beauty, that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Yes, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has bore our grief and carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace is up on him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone unto his own way. And the Lord, I tell you, has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Have you considered Jesus traveling down through 42 generations, stopped off in Bethlehem of Judea, tabernacled upon this earth for 33 long years, opening blinded eyes, healing the sick and raising the dead? Look at Jesus, if you will. Yes, had an appointment in Gethsemane. He prayed until his sweat ran down like blood. Look at Jesus, I tell you, when the mob crowd took him. Yes, and marched him from judgment hall to judgment hall. Have you considered that he did it all for you and I? Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. Look at Jesus when they whipped him with a cat of nine tails. He never said a mumbling word. Glory to the Lamb of God. That same Jesus, they mocked him up Golgotha. They nailed his hands and riveted feet, raised him up between two thieves. One thief said, if you be the Christ, come down. He had the wrong attitude. But the other one on the cross recognized and said, Lord, remember me. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. He had the right attitude, I tell you. Jesus had him to understand, this day you will be with me in paradise. That same Jesus hung his head in the locks of his shoulder, gave up the ghost. They took him down and buried him in a borrowed tomb. But thanks be to God. Oh, glory, I tell you, to the Lamb of God. Early, I tell you, on the third day morning, that same Jesus got up from the grave. Haven't he done enough for you and I to praise him, to worship him, to obey him, magnify him?
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.